Invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, preaching a number of messages regarding the subject that Jesus is the strong man. And as we've taken a look at different aspects of this from the Word of God, and that is our source of information, is what God has said about the subject. That is what we need. This has become the theme verse of these messages. It says here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." And I just want to make a note here, them. What is the them? These spirits, these false, untrue spirits, not false in the sense that they don't exist, but these untrue spirits, we have overcome them. How? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, early on in the chapter there, makes it very clear that he that is in the world is that prince in the power of the air, Satan, and those fallen angels that follow him. So this is so in us because of the one that lives in us. He doesn't say that there's one greater in us than all that are in us, but he says greater is he that is in you, singular, than he that is in the world. There is he that is in the world, and there is he that is in us, singular. Not a mix, not a warfare in that respect. We know we have a warfare with the old man and the new man. But he that is, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, verse 5, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so by the Spirit of God that lives within us, we have the spirit of truth. He is that spirit of truth. And all this in the world is indeed the spirit of error. Last time we took a look in the scriptures about different manifestations of possession by Satan and by his fallen angels and the accounts of the scriptures, different ones affected in different ways. We see the very, very violent, the very, very self-destructive. And then we see all the way to the very calm and cool and focused, that of the possession of Judas. Judas didn't behave in a violent way. He didn't thrash about foaming, ranting and raving and crying out and screaming. But he went, as the scripture tells us, and he went and he conspired with the chief priests and the elders of Israel how he might betray the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with him there at the Passover and even the Lord's Supper and the washing of the disciples' feet. Judas is there because the Lord testifies of such, and they're asking, the Lord makes known that there's going to be one to betray him, and they ask, well, who is it? Peter and John work hard to try to find out who it is. And the Lord said, well, I'm going to give him a sop. And it tells us in John 13, as we read last time, that the Lord Jesus took a sop, and he was doing that for all those that were near him, it seems. And he gave that sop to Judas Iscariot, it tells us in John 13. And And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, unto Satan or unto Judas? Well, the controlling person here is now Satan. What thou doest, do quickly. Jesus' face in the one Antichrist, the one that is against Christ and all things God, faces him and says, what you've got to go do, do it quick. He's not fearful. The thing is not running out of control, but he's very much in control. Coming to fulfill the will of the Father and win salvation, accomplish salvation for his people. And the reason I want to point that out is just to manifest the ability of the Lord in dealing with such. You and I, we are solely and wholly dependent on the Spirit of God living within us and the work of God to protect us and keep us. Satan is a real person and a real force, but our help and our hope is the Lord. And we look to praise him in that. The account of Judas is that when he saw that he was condemned in Matthew 27, he repented himself. And that doesn't mean he repented of his sins unto salvation, but he saw he was caught. It was a point of embarrassment. It was his ploy to get these 30 pieces of silver has been openly revealed. He takes that back to the chief priests and the elders and says, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. It's thought by some that maybe that Judas thought that they wouldn't kill the Lord, but they would just take him and threaten him and beat him some and something like that. But to see that he is going to be killed, they said, what's that to us? It says here, in Matthew 27, that he cast down the silver there in front of them in the temple and went out and hanged himself. And what I want us to see in that is just the sinister working of Satan. Satan came and possessed Judas, and Judas was totally under his influence, not apart from the overarching work and counsel of God. Not that the Lord is any author of sin and wickedness. By no means. He never is. What the Lord does in our understanding is that he backs off, or he comes in and he influences for good. But look what Satan does. Satan looks to do nothing but destroy. Oh, he entered into Satan. He entered into Judas and to bring Judas to this betraying of the Lord, betraying the Lord with a kiss even there in the garden for this money, this 30 pieces of silver. But then when it's all done, there he is. There Judas is to cope with it and deal with it. He has no help. He has no repentance. He's caught. He just has his own willful way and depravity in that. And what's the best thing that he sees his option is to commit suicide. And that's what Satan wants. He wants the destruction of mankind. I just tell us that, not that we put the fear and the understanding of this in its right place, but that's what Satan wants. He wants the death of all of mankind. Satan is never a helper for people. He is always a tempter and a bringing down to death and a terrible, terrible end. It was so much so that they took that money, or it was such that because it was the blood money, money that the chief priests and the elders had spent for the capturing of the Lord Jesus to take him and put him to death, they said, oh, in their righteousness, we can't put this back in the treasury. It's a hit money. It's blood money. It's assassin money. And they bought a field to bury strangers and the indigent in, and they called it the Field of Blood. And evidently, if we understand the scriptures right, it was where Judas had hung himself and was defiled. The brethren in Acts chapter 1 speak about this. He was numbered with us, Peter said, and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It's a terrible picture. But that's what needs to be understood about Satan and his way. It is a terrible, terrible thing indeed. The Field of Blood, they called it. Just as it had been prophesied in the Psalms. And so, for consideration this morning, one point, I want us to think about then and now. Brother Jim, do we really need this kind of message? Are these messages something that can benefit us in any way? Is this really apropos? Is this appropriate and right for our day? I mean, things are different now. Well, the thing is, the truth is they're not. They're not different now. And something was brought forth or brought to my attention this week that I just had not known about in the craziness that prevails in our world. And we need to know the truth about things and have understanding. And all these different accounts of possession in the scripture, from Judas, who was very calm and cool and went about what he went to do, all the way to the little boy that was so violent, and the demon was putting him in the fire and putting him in the water and trying to kill him. That whole spectrum, the demoniac at Gadara, he was just fierce, cutting himself on the rocks. All that whole range, how is that? How is that? Well, see, I wonder about this, and this is just a supposing and something for us to consider and to maybe understand. This whole range of behavior, is it so that when there is less worldly knowledge, I'm talking about physical knowledge of things and doing, you know, the Romans were great engineers and architects, but then in regards to their medicine and that, they were really way away from where we are now. So when we talk about technology and knowledge about different aspects and facets of life, is it so that when there's less knowledge and less technology on the earth, that the demons work violently to bring fear and terror and superstition to the people? If you've ever talked to any missionaries that have been and served in foreign lands and places that are more depressed and less technologically able and from the standpoint of civilization. You know, you and I, we've got so many services. I mean, if you live in town, you've got sewer that's taken away from your house. You got water, even in the counties, delivered to our house. It's very, very clean. We have no fear of drinking it. We've got sanitation where the trash is hauled off, and over at Elkton, because the roads were kind of bad, trash was piling up over there because they missed for 2 weeks. We've got things we just get used to that just keep us clean and things nice and neat. But in some lands, they just don't even know to haul the trash away. And it seems like from what we see in the scriptures that there's a way that the demons work. And we know in that day of our Lord, while the Romans were very advanced and even the Jews were a very clean people, these demons worked very violently. But now, in this day of technological advancement and so much knowledge of science and that, and as Brother Stephen mentioned, science has become the god in our day, and in the message he preached last, is it so that the demons work smoothly to deceive, to allure and seduce? They are still at hand. They are still working. I thought of these verses, how it is with mankind. In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what's going on in our day. We've got a lot of knowledge increasing. We've got technology. But in the midst of all that, denying the Lord and worshiping science and worshiping technology, We are becoming fools. And is it so that the demons are just taking a break? I tell you what, any nation that backs away from the Lord is going to be opened up to the working of Satan and his minions. It's just that way. It's going to be that way. And that's what we've done as a nation. See, it tells us we are admonished as the Lord's children in Romans 12:16 to be of the same mind one toward another in our fellowship and our work and our walk with our Lord together here in the church. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. Because that's what's happening in our nation, is we're becoming very wise in our self-wisdom. And so I wonder, I just posed this to you for thought. It's always the case that Satan and the fallen angels feed the depravity of man with temptation upon temptation as they, mankind, go to and head towards to eternal destruction on the broad way of the world. They're at work. I'm going to tell you something this morning that was just, you know, when you think you're never going to be surprised. Well, with the wickedness of man and the working of Satan, there's always something else, sorry to say. The whole transgender, the gender confusion thing is at hand, where there's a man is saying that there's a number of genders that people are pursuing. The list is incredible. It's just wicked. There's two genders that God has made. And it's man's defiance of God. That's what it is. Man is going and picking every foundational thing given by God to man and blaspheming against it and defying it before God. That's what's going on. And I believe that it is the depravity of man being fed by demonic activity. The whole gender confusion thing is some being deceived by that, are causing them to take and mutilate their bodies so they can pursue a gender that they were not born with. And so for this reason of pursuing the opposite gender, they are taking and mutilating the body, cutting off parts that are whole and healthy, so that they can pursue this thing that they say that they are. Well, brothers and sisters, know this, that has given a point of traction to the trans-able group. The trans-able group are along as it was with the transgender, and all this about psychiatry and psychology, there's different listings that the experts, quote-unquote, in these groups, and no doubt these things of damage of the mind and of the heart and everything, those things are real. And it's a very delicate area, and that is a real area. You know, just like you and I can get our arm hurt, we can get our brains hurt too. That can happen. As it was with the gender confusion thing, listed as a psychological issue with people, there's a listing for that. It's since been removed. Okay? They've removed that's no longer a psychological disorder. Okay? There's the transable. There's a psychological disorder where people say, I got my leg mangled in an accident and I can't walk. Well, Jim, your leg's in fine shape. I'm seeing you walk right now. No, I can't walk because my leg is mangled. Now the transable, this group is called the transable. They are seeking to go to doctors who have taken the Hippocratic oath to do no harm, and because they believe that they have no leg, they're going to them to have their leg removed. They're saying, if the transgender can do it, we ought to be able to do it too. And what's become the most important, when in this article that I read, this one article that I read, but it's certainly a real, it's a phenomenon that's taking place in our country and in the world. They're saying that maybe the Hippocratic oath of doing no harm, maybe that needs to be tweaked and understood, that the physical impact probably doesn't outweigh the emotional impact. And these people need to have their arms cut off, their hands cut off, whatever it is they think that they have wrong with them and their disability, their spinal cord snipped. I'm a paraplegic. And so they would seek to go and have their spinal cord severed, so they can bring to fruition what they believe is wrong with them that is not. as in all the examples in the scripture, demon possession and the work of Satan and his minions was always the destruction of man. And indeed, we have the depravity of man that's at work here. But Satan will do nothing but feed that and feed that and feed that. Tell you what, it's come to a time that's even more necessary than it ever has been before. It always has been necessary that you and I be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him, because our world is mad. Our world is found in madness, unreasonableness. And a few years ago, about different things that were coming on the scene, I took a look at some things that were being said in the 90s about things that are going on. And we ask ourselves, how far could this go? Well, we're seeing how far it can go. And it's going to come to the destruction of our country. So what is the difference between then and now? Well, the attitude in the way is maybe not the child falling down and foaming and wallowing, but it well could be people looking to mutilate themselves in these ways. Now, I'm not saying that I know, but I'm saying that we do know that all this is self-destructive towards individuals and mankind. But as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ and consider Him, which is, He's the one that we need to look at, in His ministry, Jesus cast out every demon possessed, cast out the demons out of every demon possessed person that there was. In Matthew 4:24, and His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought into Him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. There were no exceptions. If they brought them and they got them to Jesus, He healed them, and He healed them completely and thoroughly. And as I've asked you in other messages and other times that we've considered about this, would they ever come back? Would they ever come back? I dare say that they would never come back with the touch of the Lord upon him. In Matthew 8:16, and when the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. Again, in Matthew 9:32, as they went out, behold, they brought unto Him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And you know what? He healed him too. In Matthew 12:22, and was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb spake and saw. In Mark 1, again, it testifies about the many. Whatever the case was, sick, ill, disease, lunatic, whatever, he healed them all. He cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak, because he knew them. He wasn't going to take their testimony of who he was. He said, hush. And you know what they did? They didn't speak. They could not speak. It's a manifestation of the Lord's power. He speaks unto them and says, say nothing. And they could say nothing anymore. He is the great healer and the great Savior, our great Savior indeed. And there in Mark again, they brought him all that were diseased and possessed with devils, and he healed them all. In Luke 4:41, and the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. He said, quit talking. And they couldn't talk anymore. That's the power of our Lord. That's the power. That's the Lord that we have that lives within us and that keeps us and protects us and takes care of us, that saves us from these things. I tell you what, the far-reaching aspect of the salvation of the Lord is great. He saves us from our sin and from the penalty of the sin, but He saves us from other things too and protects us and has delivered us and made us His children, and praise be to His name. Understand, this power of Satan is real. I invite you to turn your Bibles, if you would, over to Acts 19. And let's be reminded of this. It's in the scriptures. It's here for a reason. And so let us look at this and be reminded of this. In Acts 19, verse 11, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons." And there are those Pentecostals and different charismatics that still trust in that. When I was a child, there was a woman that lived next door to us that believed that that could be done. Well, that was something that was done by the apostles. That's past. We have prayer. We have the Word of God. We have the petition of the Lord's people unto the Lord for the sick and for the ill, and He can heal in the same miraculous and blessed way. We've seen it. We know that He can do it. He just doesn't necessarily do it at the instant by the hand of one of His children as He did in that day. Reason being, we have the Word of God. "Nevertheless, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So it was a thing at hand in Paul's day. Verse 13, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.' And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?'" It's real. It is very real. And understand, I take no position of going to do exorcism on anybody. But it could well be that we might see the manifestation of such yet in our day as this world and our country continues to go on down the hill away from God unless He brings us repentance. But in that day, that was the calling of the apostle, and these saw that and they took that upon themselves. And listen to the response of the demon. "I know Jesus. I know His man, Paul. But I don't know who you are." I tell you what, that is real, and that has an element of fear about it, doesn't it? It is a real thing. "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them, these seven grown men, and prevailed against them. He whipped up on them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." He's yanking their clothes off. He's beating them, slapping them, punching them, kicking them. That one demon-possessed man, these seven grown men. It's real. It's real. But remember, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. "And this was known," verse 17, "to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." And that's the way it should be. "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." We come now to this point about what Jesus says about the matter. And this of those being possessed. And as you know, I trust you know from the scripture, Jesus was accused of by the leadership in his day of casting out demons by the power of Satan. That was his power. But in three different passages in the books of Mark and Matthew, Mark and Luke, the Lord makes very clear what is at hand. And I want us to take a look at these this morning and then we'll close. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 22, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, unto Jesus, and he healed him. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, 'Is not this the son of David?'" The ability of the Lord Jesus to do such a thing and to command such power and such healing and such rescue, The scripture tells us that this one was blind and dumb. They were blind, they could not see, and they were mute. They could not speak. And they were bound up by this devil. And Jesus healed them so they could see, and so that they could speak and function very, very well. It was so miraculous and so able of the Lord and so prolific of the Lord, because it wasn't one, it wasn't two, it wasn't a half a dozen, but there's no numbering the number that the Lord healed in this way. It was just over and over again, because you got to remember, when Jesus went out preaching, he went from this city to this city to this city to this city. And it counts in the scripture how we even mention Wednesday, what the scripture tells us about how far they came from. They would come from Galilee. They would come from Tyre and Sidon. They would come from the other side of the Jordan. They would come from way on down south to hear him and to see him and to be touched by him. And so the people said, "Is this not the son of David? Is not this the Christ?" Is what there's the one that is prophesied to be a deliverer of the nation. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." They said, we understand what's going on. He's doing this by Satan's power. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" He said, it's ludicrous for you to think that this is being done by the power of Satan, because as much as Jesus has done it, Satan's out of business in that region. Because the ministry of the Lord lasted 3 years, and he was on the move all that time. They kept on bringing people. And what would happen? As the fame went abroad and went further out and further out, people further out and further out heard about it and came to him. It was unmatched and by any other that had been able to heal. And so if I do this, then how can Satan's kingdom stand? He's divided against himself. And then he says this, "And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out?" Because evidently they could. Evidently there were some that did. But by no means in a number like Christ. "Therefore they shall be your judges." If I'm doing all this by the power of Satan, then let's talk about the little dab that your children do. How are they doing it? They'll be the ones that testify against you. "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God," and so I want us to see that. He says here, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then know the kingdom of God has come unto you." I tell you what, this is the closest of the kingdom, the power of heaven coming near you. This is the closest it's ever been. And you need to listen to it. You need to receive it. You need to believe it. And then he says this, "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods?" So we have a picture here of a strong man. He's got his place. He's got his stuff. How can you go in and defeat him? I mean, he's strong. He's tough. He's able. You've got to be stronger than him. You've got to be stronger than him to be able to defeat him. How else can one enter in a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, strong enough to tie him up, and then he will spoil his house? And so he's letting them know. He's letting them know, not directly, but he's letting them know in a way that's common for the Lord, isn't he? And we'll see about that here in a moment. Jesus says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." In Mark chapter 3, we have this same account, and there's some more information here that does us well to hear and understand. And the scribes, verse 22 of Mark 3, which came down from Jerusalem, said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables. And so here we see, he said, come on over here. I've got something you need to hear. And he uses a parable to describe what he's doing. So that's the indication. That tells us the reason for talking about a house. Talking about a strong man and his stuff that's within. He's given us this parable to understand how he does with people. And so the house is representative of the person. And the strong man is representative of the demon that has possessed them. And he is the one that comes in stronger than anyone that lives within and binds them up, casts them out, and spoils their goods, so to speak. And we know the Lord is no spoiler, but he uses that to give us understanding and something that they and we could understand. He called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. But if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. And so that's the understanding about Satan and his work. He would never undo what he's doing. Here's the parable. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. That's what I'm doing. I'm binding the strong man that's in. See, a little boy, the little boy can't rid himself of the demon. Legion, you know, the man at Gadara could not rid himself of Legion, all those great number of demons within him. He could not relieve himself of such. But I tell you what, when Jesus came on the scene, remember how it was with Legion? The man manifesting the what's going on with the demons inside of that man come down at Jesus' feet and worship him. And are you come to torment us? We know exactly who you are. He is the strong man indeed. And then in Luke chapter 11, we have a little bit more information here. In Luke 11, verse number 14, Luke 11, 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. It's ludicrous, isn't it? I mean, he's healing. He's healing of diseases and palsies. I mean, people can't move. They've had those things like the man that's born by four. We've got people that have issues from when they were born. They've had all these things all their lives. And you've got the terrible thing of the child and that of the legion, which that was a more private thing until the Lord saved him and rescued him. And he went to be a witness to a city in the region. And he's doing all he's doing and said, we need to see a sign from you. I mean, it's madness, isn't it? But that's the way depravity is. That's the fickleness of man. And in this day, the madness that is prevailing, the unreasonableness that's prevailing in a cross section of the people of our land and in this world, it's madness. It's lunatic. It's not a sound mind. It is terrible, isn't it? It is sad. But that's how bad sin is, and that's how bad and terrible depravity is. And that's what Satan does. He just looks to feed that and feed that to men on the broad way, taking them on to destruction. They are responsible themselves and looking to discover the wickedness of their own hearts. And Satan is he's willing to help and to work and to move in that. I tell you what, if you're here and you're not saved, you need to be rescued and saved. Because it is a terrible state in which to be. Verse 17, but he knowing their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Know that if a kingdom is divided against itself, Satan's not going to cast out his own. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because Satan is doing all he can to gain ground, gain traction, and keep his kingdom going. Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. He says, I'm telling you what I'm saying because of your accusation. Verse 19, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Which we've seen in Matthew. Therefore shall they be your judges. Oh, I love this. Verse 20, but I, with the finger of God. Isn't that something? He said the Spirit of God in Matthew. But if I with the finger of God, is this hard for the Lord? It's not difficult at all. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's our Lord and our Savior. He said, if I by the finger of God, by taking the pinky, the index finger, the little finger of God, and cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And it has. It did then, and it has unto us. The finger of God. Is there any defeat of the finger of God? Is there any relapse, any failure of the work of God? No, not at all. Not at all, never. Never. Never, never. No doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed, here's the parable, keepeth his palace. And so a little different perspective, a larger place than a house. When a strong man armed, this one he speaks about even having armor. The disciples about the little boy said, they came to him later and said, why couldn't we cast him out? Because the father brought the boy to the Lord's disciples as the Lord and Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. And they tried, and they'd been given that power by the Lord, and they couldn't. And so when the Lord came down, he did so. And then later on, they asked us, so why couldn't we cast him out? They were used to casting him out. They'd been given power. And what did the Lord say? This type cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, is what he said. Everything that's needed, the Lord has. Everything that's needed, the Lord is. And he is so as God the Son, and he is so as a man. When the strong man armed, even those strong ones, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. He's able to control what's going on. Any that would come against him, he's able to put off. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor. Not talking about his stuff, but talking about his defense. Jesus takes the fallen angels and even Satan himself and every ability that they have, he negates it. He takes it and brings it to zero at his will. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He takes him, he binds him, he takes away his armor from him. He wasn't even able to use his armor against the one stronger. All his armor wherein he trusted, and he divideth his spoils. He takes over the palace. He comes in to live within the individual. And he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. May the Lord help us so that we have understanding about this. And I pray that the Lord would grant, and I appreciate you, brethren, praying that the Lord would grant our nation repentance, and he would thwart those, you know, I pray that he saves those that hate him, because I hated him once and he saved me. And I pray that the Lord would save those that hate him, or those that defy him, those that blaspheme his name, those that work against him, that he would save them and turn them, or that he would thwart them and cause them to fall in their own pit. Those things are in his hands. But may God give our nation repentance. And may we shine, may our light shine for the Lord in this day. Because I tell you what, brothers and sisters, the next thing that comes about, you're not going to believe it. You and I are just going to be baffled why even thinking could be the way that it is. But that's the day that we've come to. That's what our nation going away from God has done. It's allowed these evils and this wickedness, Satan feeding it, no doubt Satan working within many. How is it that we have here so much today of individuals against good sense, going against the authorities to their own death? They will go against the authority. They'll go against the law enforcement, knowing full well that they're going to be killed. It's that same self-destructive way that Satan and his minions work in. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus is a strong man that saves us from our sins. And Satan and his fallen angels can never occupy us again. They cannot work on us from within. Satan can influence us through the eye and ear gates, and we need to be aware of that, because he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is the tempter of men, and he can use others to tempt us. He can use this world system and the media thereof to tempt us. And all he wants is the destruction of men, women, boys, and girls' lives. He wants the destruction of the testimony of the people of God. May the Lord help us that we understand about this. And may we understand that we being saved and the Lord Jesus being the strong man living within, our greatest problem is, yes, that we have this influence from without that comes in the ear and the eye gate. Satan is an expert marketer of wickedness and sin and temptation. But then within us, we are our greatest problem. This old man, we must mortify him. That's the reason the wording is the way it is. The depraved sinfulness of this body and unsaved mind are the greatest problem that we have yet with sin. But one day we'll be delivered. One day we will be delivered. May God help us. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.